I've been thinking a long time about speaking on what I believe is just the problem with America. Not only with America, but with our world in general. A lot of people try to explain it in a lot of different ways, but what I see is the root problem of our sinful and godless world is spiritual amnesia. You remember in Romans 1:21, as we saw in our reading, because that, men are without excuse because of that when they knew God. Right? God has put a knowledge of Himself in the hearts of all men. Men know that there is a God. What did they do with that knowledge? They didn't treat God as He deserved. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And out of that proceeded a life of ungodliness, a life of sin and degradation, as the rest of the chapter goes on to explain. Now, amnesia is a problem with forgetting. And to forget is to let something slip out of our minds so that we're no longer conscious of it. The result of forgetting is we don't take into consideration the thing we've forgotten so that it no longer affects our behavior. And that's exactly what men do with God. He's out of their minds. They do not consider Him. They don't take Him into their account. And as a result, He has no influence over their lives. Because they've forgotten Him, they're not conscious of Him, so they live as if He didn't exist. Now, when we forget something and it affects our after behavior, we usually look on that as an accident. We don't intend to forget it. I meant to do that, but somehow it went out of my mind and I just didn't do it. So we use forgetting as an excuse. Well, I forgot. So how can you be upset with me? I was going to do it. But even in that case, it shows a lack of concentration and a negligence on our part. That whatever we forget evidently wasn't important enough, or we let something else push it out of our minds and take over its place. Now, when it comes to God, forgetting is both willful and intentional. Romans 1:28 says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I don't want to think about God. I don't want to remember Him. Men are proud and arrogant. They're puffed up. They feel that they can live independently of God. They don't need God. And so they forget about Him. The wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous whom the Lord abhors. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Where all his thoughts are, there is no God. And as a result, his ways are always grievous. God's judgments are far above, out of his sight. See, it says that the fool has said, that's a conscious, willful, intentional, inward decision. He has said in his heart, there is no God. They deny the existence of God. They deny the activity of God. And so that way they don't feel accountable to God. 2 Peter 3, talking about one of God's judgments, the flood, says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Willingly ignorant. They don't want to know, so they reject that knowledge and deny it. They put it out of their minds. Men, because of their sinful hearts, and because of their innate hatred of God, forget Him. They don't want to think of God, and they do not want God to rule their lives. And today we're going to look at the evil results of such willful and wicked forgetting. I'm going to begin with Deuteronomy 32. Here's the one that is so basic. We have forgotten our Maker. We have forgotten that we are creatures, that we are made by God in His image and are accountable to Him. Deuteronomy 32:18 says, "Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten the God that formed thee. When the Lord saw it, He abhorred them because of the provoking of His sons and of His daughters. And He said, I will hide My face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith." He goes on to say, "They've moved Him to jealousy with the things that are not God, provoked Him to anger with their vanities." They're a foolish nation. So men forget that God made us. What is evolution but an all-out attempt to deny our Creator, that we came from the hand of God, and that we are going to answer to Him? It's a result of unbelief. It's a denial of God. The Bible talks about an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Unbelief denies God and then results in a turning away from and a forsaking of God. 1 Samuel 12, we see this given to us, beginning at verse 8. It's talking about the history of Israel. They were in Egypt. They cried to the Lord. He sent Moses and Aaron, brought them out, and brought them into the promised land. And they forget the Lord their God. And so He sold them into the hands of their enemies. And verse 10 says, "And they cried unto the Lord and said, We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth." They left God. They abandoned Him in unbelief. And notice what a wicked act of contempt this is. They denied God's authority over them in an attempt to be free of God's rules and restrictions. You know, "Let us break His bands asunder and cast away His cords from us." Ezekiel chapter 23 and verse 35, you see this put in very, very vivid terms. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast forgotten Me and cast Me behind thy back, therefore bear thou also thy lewdness and thy whoredoms." In other words, you ever heard "out of sight, out of mind"? They take God and everything that represents and reminds them of God, and they throw it behind them where they can't see it, which is an act of contempt. It's an act of real despising. So they put God out of their sight where He's out of their way. You know, if someone's standing in your way, you throw them aside and go on with what you're doing. And that's what they're doing with God. You turn to Judges 3. Judges is an interesting book. The people would go into sin, God would judge them, and then they'd cry out to God because of their sins and their problems that their sins brought them, and then God would send them a deliverer, and they'd live for God for a while, and after a while they'd be right back to it again. You find that repeated over and over. But notice, as they dwelt among the Canaanites, they had intermarriages and started falling into the worship of their false gods. Verse 7 says, "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgat the Lord their God and served Balaam in the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot." He was very angry against Israel, and He sold them into the hands of their enemies again. But notice, forgetting God led to the practice of evil and to the practice of idolatry. They fell into spiritual whoredom. Jeremiah 3, 21 and 22 puts it this way. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children. And verse 20 says, surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so ye have dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. They are guilty of spiritual adultery. And they had forgotten God. They had perverted their ways. They'd fallen into twisted, crooked, and perverse ways. And they had backslidden, gone back from God into evil. And the reason God calls that adultery is because they were loving other things before God. Hosea chapter 2, verse 13, tells us how forgetting God. Now, if you love somebody, they're always on your mind, and you spend time with them, and you're true to them. If you stop loving someone, pretty soon you forget about them. You no longer spend time with them. You no longer do things for them. And then next thing you know, you've got somebody else that takes their place. Well, that's what happens when they forget God. Hosea 2, verse 13. I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them. Remember it. Idolatry, putting anything above God or worshiping anything but the true God, is an act of spiritual harlotry or adultery. And he says, she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, made herself look real pretty for her lovers, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. A wife chases after other men. She's forgotten her husband and no longer loves him as she once did. And of course, when we love things other than God, that's not really love. It's a prostitution of our affections. It's a putting our love on that which is unworthy of that love that belongs to God, but really it's a lust. Psalm 106, in verse 13 and 14, explains it this way. God worked wonderfully for His people. It says, verse 13, they soon forget His works, all the wonderful things He did for them. They waited not for His counsel. They became impatient. They didn't want to find out what God wanted them to do. They wanted to do their own thing, follow their own will. But they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. They fell into lust. Illicit, unlawful, unholy desires, sinful inclinations. The wrong desire for things that God forbids, lust. Why are men full of lust, going after the things that are evil in the sight of God? Because they no longer remember God, and they're all caught up in other things. Here's an example of that. One of the greatest lusts of all is covetousness. Ezekiel 22, verse 17. Men want money. Men want things. They want to amass material wealth and possessions. They want to be rich. They want to have all the good things of this world in abundance and overabundance. You know why? They've forgotten God. Remember what God said? Be content with what things you have. Don't live in covetousness, because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, if we leave and forsake God, we're no longer content with what we have, because when we have God, we're satisfied. Without God, there's no satisfying us. And so our hearts go after things that never can give them contentment or rest. And all they want is more and more. Lust is insatiable. It gets worse and worse. It grows and grows. It never reaches a point where it's happy. Ezekiel 22:17 says, well, I think I got a wrong scripture there, and I'm sorry. It's a greed for material gain, but I don't think that's the verse I was looking for. Well, I'll have to come back to that later on if I remember. Notice what happens, though, as they amass wealth. It's like it's forgetting God that leads them to desire these things. And then once they have these things, it's a reason for forgetting God. Hosea 13 in verse 6. Oh, I'm sorry. It's verse 12 of Ezekiel 22, if you ought to look there. It says, "In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord." And he calls this dishonest gain in verse 13. They were taking bribes. They were lying. They were exercising fraud. They were cheating and using extortion to take from their neighbors and gain riches. All out of a lust for material wealth. And like I say, Hosea 13:6 tells us that this leads to forgetting God. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore, have they forgotten me? They had an abundance of material things. It made them proud and self-sufficient. And so they felt, I don't need God anymore. And that's really what's happening in this country. Now, God warned about that over and over before he brought the people into the promised land, which was going to be a land of abundance. He told them they needed to be careful of this. Deuteronomy. Verse 11. He's talking about when he brings them in the land which he swore to their fathers. He gives them great and goodly cities, which they didn't even have to build themselves. And verse 11. Houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not. Vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware. When you have all enough and more than enough, then beware. Be on your guard, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name, and not go out after other gods. Now look at chapter 8. Talking about this same thing. Once they're in the land, a land of plenty, when you have eaten, verse 10, and are full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. In other words, remember where you got this, and be careful to thank God. Remember in Romans it says they were not thankful. They didn't glorify God as God. He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when you eat and are full, verse 14 says, your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and who led you through this wilderness. So verse 18 says, don't you say, verse 17, my power, the might of my hand got me this wealth. Start taking the credit to yourself. And acting like you did this. But you shall remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that gives thee power to get wealth. That he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. But if you at all forget the Lord your God, and walk after other gods, serve and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. See what he's saying? He blesses us and gives us these good things. We get so caught up with the gift, we forget the giver. And we take the blessings and we run with them and we use them as an occasion for sin. Instead of using them as a reason to be thankful to God and to want to serve him more because he's so good to us and takes such good care of us. Well, if a person puts God out of his life, what happens? No man is a vacuum. We can't just go through life like we're all there is and we need nothing else. Men naturally have to trust in something. Men naturally have to worship something. They have to cleave to something. That's why there's no such thing as just leaving God and then living a neutral, you know, decent life. It will always lead to something taking the place of God in our lives. Look at what happens in Jeremiah 18. God is the only reality. He's the only absolute. He's the only sufficiency. God is all. Everything else compared to God is nothing. It's vanity and less than nothing. And if we turn from God, there's only one thing left. Beginning of verse 15. Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to what? Vanity. And they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passes thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. What happens? They forget God, and like I say, men are incurably religious. They need something to worship. And if they no longer worship the true God, then they worship vanity. And it can get pretty vain. You know, sports, cars, you know, any kind of thing that we think is important to us. It becomes our God. That's what we live for. That's what we find our enjoyment in. That's what we give ourselves to. And compared to God, everything else is futile. It's worthless. Vanity means it's nothing. We worship nothing, which is really a very, very low state to fall into. And then we trust in falsehood. Jeremiah 13:25. God is the true God. He's the God of truth. Everything compared to Him is false. They're trusting in lies and those things which are of no profit, which cannot help them or save them. They're trusting in a deception that will disappoint them and lead them astray and bring them to ruin because they're not trusting in God. Verse 25 says, "This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures for me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood." No, men without God are living a lie. The devil has them by the nose. He's got his hook in their jaws and he's dragging them down to hell. And they're running after his lies as if they were true and as if they were something worthwhile. Trusting in falsehood rather than trusting in the true God. And notice what this leads to. Hosea 8:14. You know, there's a lot of religion in the world. You know what a lot of people say? All religions lead to the same place. All different ways that men worship God lead us ultimately to heaven. We're all worshiping the same God. We all are doing the same thing, just in different forms. That is a great lie. The reason that there are false religions other than the true Christian religion, faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation and obedience to His Word, is because men are hiding from God, because they've forgotten God. They're running from God. They don't want God. And religion, false religion, is a cover to hide themselves from God. They're not in church because they want God. They're there because they don't want God and because they have some selfish reason for being there. Whether to look good in the eyes of the community, to try to appease their own guilty conscience, or whatever the reason, it's not for God. Hosea chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For Israel hath forgotten his Maker and builds temples." How do you like that? They forget God and build churches and worship. Very religious. "And Judah hath multiplied fenced cities." Or they're trying to trust in carnal securities, worldly defenses, whether it be atomic bombs, big armaments. Oh, if we have enough force and power, enough, protection of a physical sort, we're safe. And there's no safety apart from God. Safety's of the Lord. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Anything we try to build up to protect ourselves from God and from judgment and the evils of this world, God will destroy and cause to fail, because they are taking his place. Not that we shouldn't be prudent and defend ourselves and provide for ourselves, but if we're trying to do that instead of God, depending on that in God's place, he will destroy our confidences. As a matter of fact, why are there so many ministers in the world that aren't preaching the gospel? Because God says, my people love to have it so. That's just what people want. You turn back to Jeremiah. You can go to chapter 23. In chapter 5, I'll just refer to this. God says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. My people love to have the prophets lie to them. They love to have them speak smooth things to them. They tell the prophets, remove the Holy One from before us. We don't want to hear his words. And so Jeremiah 23:27 says, about the prophets who prophesy lies, the deceits of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. They're intentionally turning people from God. When they deny the deity of Christ and salvation through his shed blood, they deny the virgin birth and the bodily resurrection, they deny miracles, and half of them deny there's a God at all. It's nothing but a social activity without God, and it's an abomination in his sight. They do not preach God's word. It says, if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. But instead, they tell the people, you keep doing what you're doing, living your lives of sin and unbelief, and no evil shall come upon you. God will bless you and be with you, even in your wickedness. But God says, if they'd preached my word, then they would have turned the people to me. But they preach their own word. They do not declare God's laws. Look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. They're not preaching what God's standards are, God's requirements, God's laws and demands. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The priests and prophets don't know God themselves, and they do not bring people to the knowledge of God. He says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were in priests, so they sinned against me. Therefore I will change their glory into shame. See what he's saying there? You've forgotten my law. You're not preaching my word, so I'm going to forget you. You've rejected knowledge, and yet you stand up in my name and claim to be declaring my word. Well, to forget God's law tells us the rule of our obedience to God. If we forget his law, we no longer obey him. Psalm 78. When men are not told God's commands, and not told God's standards, and not told what is sin and what God requires of them, soon you find them walking in their own ways. It says in verse 10, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law, and they forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. They did not walk in his law. They walked contrary. They walked in disobedience to to God. Because sin is the transgression of God's law. Let me give you some examples of that. Proverbs chapter 2. Why is there so much infidelity and immorality, so much divorce and remarriage in our country? Where is that coming from? They don't see marriage as an institution of God. They don't acknowledge that God ordained marriage to be for life, till death do us part. They do not recognize God's will regarding marriage. They stand up and make a vow. They don't believe anyone's hearing that other than themselves and the minister and the people around them. They don't feel that they're obligated to keep their promises. Proverbs 2:17 says about the strange woman, the adulterous woman, which forsakes the guide of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. In other words, they forget that when they get married and make a vow, they're promising something to God. For better or worse, till death do we part. You ever heard anyone tell you, I didn't believe in God when I said that, so it doesn't matter. I didn't really mean anything when I said it. I wasn't thinking that he heard anything that I was saying. So I'm not held to that. If you vow a vow to God, don't fail to pay it, or he'll be angry with you, it says. So people, they commit adultery because they feel no obligation to be faithful to their vows. Isaiah 57:11. Why do people lie? You ever wonder that? What does that get them? Well, maybe they fooled you. They put one over on you. They got an advantage of you by lying. But what are they saying? Well, if I can fool you, that's all I have to think about. I got what I wanted. I don't have to worry about anything else. If they believed there was a God in heaven who heard our words and that lying lips are an abomination to Him, they wouldn't dare lie. Because He knows the truth and His eyes are on the truth. Isaiah 57:11 says, of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied? And we think we'll get out of trouble and avoid punishment if we just lie. You have not remembered me nor laid it to thy heart. Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? In other words, I didn't judge you when you lied, so you thought you got away with it, so you felt encouraged to lie more. Lying, terrible sin. And it's a denial of God who knows our hearts and the truth. You know what the worst lie is? Hypocrisy. To claim to be something we're not. To put on a false front. To play act. To make an appearance of something that is not true. There's nothing worse than someone that claims to be a Christian and doesn't live like it. That is hypocrisy. Putting on a mask. Playing a part of which they are not really what they are trying to present themselves as. Job chapter 8. You know, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. What good does it do somebody to make other people think they're a Christian when they're not? Why do they try to convince themselves they're a Christian when they're not? You think God's somehow unaware of their true heart condition and where they stand with Him? Do they think that because they go to church or do other things like that, that God's convinced they're a Christian and when they're putting it on? Verse 13, it says, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off and whose trust shall be a spider's web. If you have any hope of eternal life and being with the Lord someday and you're not really saved, that's a false hope. And that hope will make you ashamed. It will perish, and you'll perish with it. Hypocrisy is a terrible sin, and it's not fooling God. The only way anyone could be a hypocrite is to act like there's no God and to think that somehow they're convincing everybody, including themselves, that they are Christians when they're not. Well, here's something else they forget. Isaiah 47. The one thing they try to put far from them is the evil day. And by the evil day, I mean they try to forget there's ever going to be a day of reckoning when they're going to have to render to God for their deeds and answer to Him, give an account of themselves to God, have their lives brought before God in judgment. That's the thing they try to forget. Don't think about death, and especially don't think about what's going to come after death. That's something that they try to avoid. Verse 7 says, "As thou sayest, I shall be a lady forever. So that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it." You think you're all set, nothing's going to happen to you bad, that you're secure, and nothing will ever move you. Therefore, hear now this, thou that are given to pleasures. Hey, if I don't have to answer to God, if there's no judgment, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We give ourselves to pleasure, dwell carelessly, act like I have nothing to worry about. That sayest in thy heart, I am, and there's none else beside me. You think you're God, and you're the ultimate, and no one's above you, and you're never going to have to answer to anyone. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection, or to the ultimate extent, for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. Forgetting God provokes God to bring his wrath and judgment upon us. Psalm 78. We're provoking God. We're challenging God. We're making God angry with us and tempting him to punish us when we forget him and live as if he doesn't exist. Verse 40 says, "How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted the God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy." They forgot him, turned back, limited, tempted, provoked him, and grieved him. Well, if God's provoked, that means he's going to punish. What is the punishment for forgetting God? We've already seen that he's angry and that he threatens destruction on those who forget him. Lamentations chapter 1, Lamentations chapter 1, verse 9. Her filthiness is in her skirts. That means her sin is on her. She remembers not her last end. She's forgotten her accountability to God and the coming judgment. Therefore, she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter, O Lord. She came down wonderfully. She had a horrible, terrible fall and ruin. Let's look at what that involves. Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Verse 21, they forget God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them. Except Moses stood in the breach and turned away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. But they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word, they murmured in the tents, they hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. In other words, he said he swore in his wrath they would not enter his rest, and he said their carcasses would fall and be consumed in the wilderness. So he destroys those who forgets him. And notice how vividly and terribly he describes how he's going to treat those who forget God. Psalm 50, verse 22. He represents himself as a wild, furious beast. It's a terrible death to fall into the hands of a wild beast and be torn and destroyed. But that's how God says he will treat those who forget him. Verse 21, "These things you have done, and I kept silence. You thought I was altogether such a one as yourself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. I will deal with you for your sins. There will be a day of accounting. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. God says, I'm going to tear you to shreds if you don't remember me and turn to me. And what will the exact judgment be? Psalm 9, verse 17. And here is the destiny of America and any other nation who sins as our country has sinned. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. God's going to cast them into eternal damnation to burn forever and ever in the fires of hell, which is His punishment for sinners. Forgetting God results in eternal damnation. That's the punishment for forgetting God. So what should we do? Well, Ecclesiastes says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember God now. Seek Him while it is yet early. Don't wait. Don't live a life of ignoring God and treating God as if He doesn't exist. Come to Him now, as soon as you can. And then remember your sins. We try to put our sins out of our mind and act like, I haven't done anything wrong. I don't have to worry. I'm not so bad. God won't judge me. Ezekiel 37 and chapter 36, verse 31. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities, for your abominations. Remember God. Don't forget Him. Remember your sins against God. Don't fail to acknowledge and confess your sins. And then remember Christ. 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Remember that God sent His Son Jesus Christ, who was without sin, who remembered the Lord in all His ways, and who went to a cross and died in our place, that we might come back to God through Him. And He rose again, and He's alive. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him, because He ever lives to make intercession for them. Remember God. Remember what God has done for us in sending His Son. Remember your sin and your danger and your need of Christ, and then come to the Lord. Turn to the Lord and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because that's the only way to be spared the destruction that awaits those who forget God. Because to reject Christ is unbelief, which is a departing from the living God and living without God and contrary to God. Turn to the Lord and then have your mind stayed on Him and serve Him all your days. Love Him and live for Him. Obey His commands. Do His will. And look forward to the day of being with Him. A Christian may forget many things, but he cannot forget God, his Savior. Let's close in prayer. Oh Lord, we tremble when we think of the long years we lived without God, forgetting that You made us, that we are accountable to You, that we're going to have to answer to You someday, and that You require that we live our lives in obedience to Your will and Your law. Father, how unmindful of God we were, how forgetful of ourselves and our own welfare we were, that we would challenge God, tempt and provoke God, live in a state where we're exposed constantly to the wrath and judgment of God, and live for sin and for ourselves and for the things of this world. Lord, we remember that with shame and regret, with sorrow and grief. And yet we're thankful that we can also remember that You worked in our lives to bring us out of our sin and our darkness and to bring us to Yourself, that we would no longer forget You, but make You our first priority and our love, our Lord and our Savior, and to live for You and remember You in all our ways. Lord, I pray if anyone here is still living without Christ, without God, and forgetting their need for salvation and going after the things of this world. Lord, wake them up and turn them back to yourself before it's forever too late. And we who are your people, Lord, help us not to be so forgetful, to forget what you've done for us and how much we owe to you and our responsibility to you, Lord, so that we would be diligent and faithful and fervent in service to God all our days. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.